Meanwhile, Paul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. I want to preface this sermon by saying that each person needs to make a personal decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and surrender all and follow Him. Each person needs to do that. And we often talk about this passage in Scripture as being Paul's conversion. We often talk about it when he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I want to ask you, though, today, as we talk about this passage and think about this passage, I want to ask you to think about it in a little bit different way. Because I think if you consider it in this little bit different way, it might have something very deep to say to you. You see, we think about this as Paul coming to Christ and accepting Christ as his Savior and his Lord. And some of us go, well, I don't have a Damascus Road experience. Something dynamic did not happen to me like that to come to Christ. And because of that, sometimes people don't feel comfortable sharing a word of testimony about how they met Jesus Christ. Because I don't have a Damascus Road experience, they say. Well, I want to let you know that today you can have a Damascus Road experience, even if you believe in Jesus Christ. Today, you can have a Damascus Road experience. Even if you have been a believer in Jesus Christ for decades, it's all how you listen to what God says in this passage. The story is about a believer in God who learned more details about the spiritual journey. This story is about a believer in God who learned more details about the spiritual journey. You see, Paul was trained in one of the best schools there was. He knew the scriptures of his day inside out, upside down, backwards and forwards. He knew them every way that you could know them. He understood them deeply. He knew that God was involved in the life. He knew that God created him. He knew that God created the world. He knew the stories of Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and Joseph. He knew those stories. He knew about the kings of Israel. He knew about the prophets. I want you to think. Saul is already a believer in God at the beginning of the story. And he believes that he is doing God's will. He believes it fully and deeply. He is about persecuting those of the way. The very first thing that defined people who followed Jesus Christ. They were people on the way. They hadn't arrived yet. They were on a journey. They were moving forward. They were not sitting still. They were people of the way. They were learning more about God and more about Jesus and more about the dynamic spiritual path that God had for them. They were people of the way. I really think we need to pull that name back into this century. And we need to be known as people of the way. Not people that are Christians. People of the way. I haven't arrived yet. I'm moving forward. I'm going somewhere. I'm about doing something that God wants to have done. I'm about being involved with God in this world. I am on the way. I haven't got there yet. So the question from the back seat, are we there yet? Does not apply to our spiritual walk because we shouldn't be there yet. The problem is too many people that sit in the pews in churches think they're already there. Amen. They think they've already gotten everything they need to get. Folks, we're supposed to be people on the way, not having arrived there yet. We're supposed to be people that are growing and experiencing God deeper and richer and in more ways every day. And that's what this story's about. You see, Paul gets these letters from the Sanhedrin that he can go and capture those who are on the way. And that he can, not really sure, but it seems throughout historical understanding that he could bring them back to Jerusalem for some kind of trial because they were messing things up. Those who were Christians had not moved out of the synagogues yet. They were still going and worshiping God in the synagogue every week. They hadn't started churches. They hadn't started different gatherings. And Paul is going there to capture them. And I'm sorry, I keep saying Paul. It says Saul in the scripture, same person. Okay, he becomes known as Paul later. He's been given letters so that he can go capture them. Something happens on the road to Damascus. A bright light happens. A voice happens. A vision happens. Paul understood from his biblical understanding, he recognized that this vision that was happening involved God's presence. Because of what he had studied in the scriptures, because of what he had experienced in the scriptures, he knew that what was happening right in front of him was something from God. He was already a believer in the one God, just as we are. He just didn't fully get the picture. He didn't fully understand. He already believed. He knew that what was happening right there on that Damascus road was something that was talked about in scriptures time and time and time again. When God appears, bright lights happen. When God appears, some voice happens, something happens. Even the people that were with Saul that day, what does it say? They heard the voice, but they didn't see anything. Something happened that day. And Paul knew that the something that happened was God's presence. It's called an epiphany. God appears, and Saul has this aha moment. He has this eureka moment. Here is God right in front of me. And it says that he fell on the ground when he heard the voice. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you? That's what Paul says. Who are you, Lord? He knew that what was happening in front of him was God. He knew that. He was assured of that from all that he had studied and read in Scripture. He knew that. And the voice speaks to him and says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he says, "Who are you?" And the answer comes, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Wait a minute. This vision, this thing that's happening in front of me, this epiphany, this is God. Wait, it's Jesus? It's God, it's Jesus? And Jesus is asking me, "Why are you persecuting me? Why are you chasing after the people of the way? Why have you got those letters, Paul, so that you can arrest them? Why?" Imagine what happened to Paul at that moment. You see, he already believed in God. But something more was being revealed to him. Something more was happening for him. Paul sees and hears Jesus speak to him about his current spiritual path. Paul is on this spiritual path that he knows is the path that God wants him to be on. That's what he knows, doesn't he? Otherwise, why would he be doing it? He is firmly convinced that this is the path that God wants him walking on. He should be out there stopping the people of the way. He's convinced of it. He knows it. He's prayed about it. He's understood that. He's gone to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogues so that he can arrest the people of the way. He knows he's on the right path. And yet, something different happened than what he expected. "Why are you persecuting me?" "Well, who are you, Lord?" "I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting." I'm sure Paul had to go, "Wait a minute. Let me see if I can get this. I'm out to arrest the people of the way, those people who follow Jesus Christ, who are still part of the synagogue. I'm out to arrest them. I'm out to get rid of their influence in the synagogue. But yet you tell me I'm persecuting you, and you're appearing to me as God does." "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Paul gets up from the ground, and now he can't see. The incredible awesomeness of Jesus Christ in the light has caused him to be blind. And they must grab his hand and lead him into the city. And look at what it says he does. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. What had just happened to Saul was so disturbing to him, was so enlightening to him, that he couldn't focus on anything else, is what I'm willing to say. What happened to him on the Damascus Road was something that he never expected to happen. But because he knew God already, And because he knew the scriptures already, he knew this was something from God. And now he sits and says, I must do something about it. But what did Jesus tell him? Just go sit. Don't do anything. You'll be told. Well, if you go on to read the story, there's another incredible man in this story that doesn't often get talked about. His name's Ananias. Because the very next thing that happens is the Spirit comes to Ananias and says, I want you to go find this Saul, and I want you to lay hands on him so he can see again. And so that he can understand, I've chosen him to be my ambassador in this world. And Ananias says, Lord, are you sure? Because this Saul guy is out to kill people of the way, and I really don't want to get signed up to be killed. Are you sure? And God says to him, do what I say to do. And he goes and he lays hands on Saul, and it says that scales fell off of Saul's eyes, and now he could see. Wow. Just go sit down, Saul. Just go sit down and just be there, and something will happen, and someone will come to you. Can you imagine? Well, some of you probably can imagine sitting there for 3 days and doing nothing, huh? Can you imagine for 3 days thinking about what happened on the Damascus Road? What he had just experienced? Wait a minute, I know God. And something new has been revealed to me. Something that's going to cause me to change the way I live my life. Something that's going to cause me to make everything different from the way I've been living. Saul goes on to be named Paul. And Saul makes many missionary journeys to establish churches. He also makes journeys back to these churches. He writes over half of the New Testament, giving us wisdom and insight and understanding from God through the Holy Spirit. This man was used in dynamic ways. Tradition tells us he was probably a short man, that he probably was bald, that he probably wasn't the most wonderful looking person, that he had eyesight problems, and they think he also had seizure problems. And God used him in incredible ways. You see, the reason I ask you to think about this story as somebody who already knows God is because you tell me you already know God. That's what I hear from you. That's what I understand from you. Is God coming to you and giving you a vision that you need to pay attention to? Is God bringing you a Damascus Road experience? And are you doing as Saul did and taking 3 days to process what Jesus told him? You see, sometimes we live in the midst of the church so much that we think we already got it. That we think we already arrived. That we suppose there's no journey left. And we become no longer people of the way, but we become people that sit in pews. And we count sitting in a pew as our devotion to God. And we count that as our action for doing what God wants us to do, to be obedient. I done did my duty. I went to church today. We've lost the understanding of being people on the way. We've lost the understanding that this is a continuing, ongoing process, and that God brings new things into our lives. Why do I believe that? Because God's done it for me time and time again. Brought a new understanding. Brought a new experience. Brought a new direction to step. I've told you, Deanne did not marry a pastor. There was nothing in my mind about being a pastor the day I got married. Nothing. That may have been the farthest thing from my mind at that moment. And what did God do? God came and said, I got a new vision for you. About 4 or 5 years after we were married, God said, I got something new for you. Oh, God, I don't like new things. Well, you're going to have to make some changes. Oh, God, I don't like changes. You're going to have to risk some. Oh, God, I don't like risk. Do you realize what Saul was risking here? He may have been in line to be a high priest someday. He was so learned and so understanding and so part of the leadership, he may have been in line to be the high priest. And because of Jesus coming to him and speaking to him about something new, Paul stepped away from that. What about you? It's easy to make this story a story about somebody's conversion and coming to Christ. And therefore, it's for the people that don't go to church, is what this story's for, right? They need to have a Damascus Road experience. They need to get their lives straight. They need to change themselves. They need to do something different. What if I say it's a story about somebody who already believes in God? Then it might be about you. And then I might be able to ask this question, what are you going to do about it? I'm a firm believer that God speaks to us in very audible and visible ways. I have heard it at times in my life very clearly. I described for you last week, I believe it was, when I went to the counselor and had a nervous breakdown, and I heard God say, you've lived your own way twice, Tim. Are you willing to trust me now again and walk the way I'm asking you to walk? I heard it sitting on a stone wall one day when I said, God, I can't be a pastor. Those people that I'm ministering to in my home church, they need me to be there. They need me to help them. They need me to encourage them. They need me to lift them up. And God said, do you think that I care for them less than you do? Do you think that I can't take care of them without you? God said, I need you to be a pastor. I'll take care of these people here at this church. Yeah, that took more than 3 days to think about that one. What if we make this story about somebody who already knows God? then that means you might have to deal with something. Because we should be ready and willing to listen, because there is always more to be revealed about the spiritual journey. There is always more to be revealed about the spiritual journey. Always. Always. If you think you have arrived on your spiritual path already, you're sinning by thinking you've already arrived. And you're basically saying, nope, God, I'm good. Got everything I need. I've made it already. Are you willing to tell God that? Or are you ready to look for what might be happening on the path in front of you? Are you willing to look for what vision might appear? Folks, I could go on and on and on about the times that I've heard God speak in my life very clearly. I have even heard my name called. I have been places where I've heard somebody say, Tim, pay attention. And I turn around and look, and there's no one looking for me. God spoke and said, pay attention. God spoke and said, I love you. I know, by the world, some people might call me crazy. But I'm following the biblical example, ain't I? The biblical example is of God speaking to people, calling out to them, speaking to them clearly. Now, you may come to me and say, Pastor, I haven't heard God speak to me. I'm just going to ask you, are you tuned to the right station? That may be the problem. Because I truly believe that God is already speaking to you. God spoke to you this morning when you woke up and said, get ready and go to church. And you listened and you came. God said, get ready and come to church because I've got an experience you won't believe. I'm going to tell you something today that you need to hear. I'm going to tell you something you need to deal with. I got something new for you. I got a change I want you to make. I got you something you need to risk. I'm just going to ask you, what are you going to do about it? Because there is always something to be revealed about the spiritual journey. Always. I've been studying the Bible very, very closely since the early 90s. Very deeply. And there's something new every day. What a fantastic experience. 7 years ago, there was something new. There was something new that it took me a while to hear. Came from a couple of different people. Not places I expected to hear it. And that new thing was, it's time for you to move to a new church. It took some time for me to even believe that was a thing. I struggled against it. I fought against it. I had to reflect on it. I had to think about it. God says, I want you to move 3.5 hours across the state. Do what? Because I'll be very upfront with you. This was not the direction we were looking for when we started looking for a new place to serve. We were looking further east than we were already. And God says, I got an opportunity in the west for you. In the southwest of Virginia. And both Deanne and I sat down and looked at it and we said, God, that's not where we're expecting to go. And I heard a voice say, why not try? And I looked at Deanne and I said, I can't say no right now. Let's see what happens. Folks, do you want to miss out on what new thing God has for you? Really? If God comes to you in a vision and says, here's something new. Here's something that's going to require a change in your life. Here's something that means you're going to have to take some risk. We're going to start studying the book of Galatians on Wednesday nights. Do you realize after Paul made his commitment to follow Jesus Christ, the city was on lockdown. And the leadership of the town was trying to find him so they could kill him. Because he followed the vision that God gave him. And some of his friends put him in a basket, pushed it out the window, and lowered him down so that he could get away from Damascus while the town was on lockdown. Did he go straight to the mission field? No. He went into the wilderness for 3 years and studied about, what does this mean that Jesus Christ came to me? And then his journey took off like wildfire. Do you want to miss that? Are you open to hear what new details God has for you about the journey? Are you open to hear what new details God has for you about the journey? This is a story about somebody who knew God already. And on that path, something new was revealed. What are you going to do about it? Because I'm bold enough to say God's revealing something new to you right now. What are you going to do about it? Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we take these stories and we make them applicable to other people so that we don't have to deal with the details. But the truth is that, Lord, every day you come to us and you challenge us and you encourage us and you inspire us to change, to risk, to do something new. All of Scripture says, pay attention. I'm about doing something new. Lord, show us that new. Show us it in such a bold way that we cannot refuse that we've seen it. Show it to us in a way that is just so dynamic and so powerful that we will change. And that this church, on this corner, will be a beacon not only for this town, this state, this country, but for the whole world. And that people can say, because they were willing to pay attention to the new thing that God brought to them and make changes in their lives. I, who live on the other side of the world, know about Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be those kind of people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.